Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Let's tip off Thursday's show with a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Hall of Fame basketball player Dikembe Mutombo. The Congolese giant was born June 25th, 1966, in Kinshasa. Writing at his Facebook page, Dikembe says, and I quote, "I am blessed to celebrate another birthday in this beautiful world God made. 54 years old, a father, husband, and a mentor to many youth. I am still making the difference." Dikembe Mutombo has made a big difference off the basketball court through his humanitarian work. Mutombo is a longtime supporter of Special Olympics for athletes with intellectual disabilities. He's also worked very hard to improve public health in his Democratic Republic of Congo homeland. One of Mutombo's biggest humanitarian achievements occurred 13 years ago when the Biyamba Marie Mutombo Hospital opened on the outskirts of Kinshasa. The $29 million hospital is named for Dikembe's late mother. Also celebrating a birthday on this Thursday is another Hall of Fame basketball center. Happy 78th birthday to Willis Reed, who helped lead the New York Knicks to NBA titles in 1970 and 1973. Willis Reed was the NBA's Rookie of the Year in 1965, the NBA's Most Valuable Player in 1970, and a seven-time NBA All-Star. Elsewhere, Indiana Pacers guard Malcolm Brogdon has tested positive for the coronavirus just weeks before the NBA is scheduled to resume its season in Orlando, Florida. The coronavirus pandemic has shut down many sporting events. Two of the latest casualties are the Berlin and New York City marathons, which have been canceled for this year. The AP's Julie Walker reports on the New York cancellation.
It's the world's largest marathon, 26.2 miles through all five boroughs, and the New York Roadrunner says it's canceling because the race poses too many health and safety concerns. The race was scheduled for November 1st and usually has more than 50,000 runners. Those who are participating this year will be offered a full refund or guaranteed entry for any of the next 3 years. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city looks forward to hosting the 50th running of the marathon, November 7th, 2021. Julie Walker, New York.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
VOA's Jim Stevenson included tennis, auto racing, and horse racing news in his latest Game Room Sports podcast. But Jim's opening pitch was baseball. As we hear now,
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
Play ball.
Major League Baseball is back.
Owners and players finally agreed to terms for a 60-game season late Tuesday. The announcement comes after months of back and forth between both sides, with players demanding owners stick to their word and pay prorated salaries agreed to in March. The players have agreed to start training camp in the first week of July. Games will follow later. The last part of the agreement was on health and safety protocols. How that will play out remains to be seen, as the Philadelphia Phillies just announced multiple cases of coronavirus after several players began training at the team facility in Florida. Several teams, including the World Series champion Washington Nationals, have moved back to their home ballparks to finish training.
As we have stated unequivocally, there is no place for racism in NASCAR. And this act only strengthens our resolve to make the sport open and welcoming to all.
NASCAR President Steve Phelps said Monday that the Federal Bureau of Investigation would be looking into the discovery of a noose found in the Talladega Superspeedway garage stall of Bubba Wallace, NASCAR's only black full-time driver.
Birmingham office of the FBI, and they are currently on site. And they've started their investigation. Obviously, this is a very, very serious act, and we take it as such. We will do everything in our power to make sure that whoever has committed this act comes to justice and comes to light.
Phelps said the noose was found Sunday afternoon by a crew member he did not identify, and security was notified. He said security had been stepped up and the FBI had arrived at the track just 2 hours before Monday's postponed race. He also informed Wallace.
You know, it's a difficult moment for Bubba. It's a difficult moment for me, but he's handled it with the grace that he has handled everything that's happened over the last few weeks.
Wallace himself was upbeat as he spoke on the track with invited fans behind him.
The sport is changing. The deal that happened yesterday, sorry I'm not wearing my mask, but I wanted to show whoever it was that you're not going to take away my smile, and I'm going to keep on going. I've been a part of this sport for a really long time. I'm still kind of a rookie, starting to figure this plate stuff out. We had a good race going today in our Victory Junction Chevrolet, but we ran out of gas. Just the stars didn't align for us completely, but all in all, we won today.
Good news came as quickly as the cars that race on the track. The FBI determined the noose, which turned out to be a garage door pull, had been in the garage since last year, meaning Wallace had not been the target of a hate crime. Before the answer was known, the incident had rallied NASCAR officials and drivers alike to come around Wallace and support at the track.
The pre-race deal was probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to witness in my life. From all the supporters, from drivers, from crew members. Hey, I'm still smiling. Long week ahead of me, probably a couple weeks, probably a couple months.
Amid recent racial protests in the United States, Wallace had successfully pushed the stock car series to ban the Confederate flag, a vestige of the U.S. Civil War, at its venues less than 2 weeks ago.
Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the sunny side of sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the sunny side of sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York hero, Tez the Law and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes. They took it by four lengths at the end.
Pretty satisfying. I don't know how else to put it. It's pretty satisfying.
Trainer Barkley Tagg enjoyed watching jockey Manny Franco take his three-year-old colt, Tiz the Law, to victory in the first leg of horse racing's Triple Crown.
Well, he got away well, and he got in a position I like him to be in. I like him to be up there in the first three or four horses and sitting in back just a little bit off the rail if he can. Manny knows he likes it that way. He knows I want it that way. And the horse runs well that way, and he engineered it that way. He said he knew that some of the horses were going to go out that would be in the front, and he had it all figured out pretty well.
No fans were in the stands at the Belmont Stakes in New York, traditionally the last of the three Triple Crown races. Tag says the absence of a roaring crowd might have been an advantage for his horse.
I'm not against the noise because they got to learn the noise too, and the noise is what is the machine that makes this thing all go. So I'm not afraid of that either. But with a young horse, you just like to see him have an easy trip sometimes and win a big race at the same time.
Tag thought the event might have been good to have at least a few spectators present.
Well, I think it would have provided all that hope for people that, you know, it's an outdoor sport. Like I say, the administration in this state isn't wild about horse racing anyway. And it was a beautiful race, a beautiful day of racing, and Naira pulled it off really well. And I'm not just saying that. It was. Everything went really smoothly. It would make anybody excited about having to come back, so I would think.
Tag will take Tis the Law to the next race, the Kentucky Derby. The Preakness in Baltimore will finish this year's Triple Crown Series, postponed because of the coronavirus pandemic. World number one men's tennis player Novak Djokovic of Serbia has become the highest profile athlete to be diagnosed with coronavirus. Djokovic was the face behind the Adria Tour, a series of exhibition events that began in Belgrade and moved to Zadar, Croatia this past weekend. Both Serbia and Croatia had recently relaxed restrictions because of the pandemic. Davor Božinović is Croatia's interior minister.
Ja sam siguran da je ovakav primjer, koliko god je on loš, s obzirom na...
This is really a bad example of misbehavior of people in question, but I think it will make other people more careful from now on. It is a warning for organizers of events like this, owners of restaurants, and others, that measures have to be respected. That's the only way how they can keep their businesses open. We have our health inspectors coming here, and we'll see what they can find out. Two tennis players ranked among the top 40 in the world have tested positive for the virus after being involved in the competition. Grigor Dimitrov and his opponent Borna Koric have confirmed they also have the virus. Alan Medic, chief epidemiologist in the region of Zadar, confirmed officials were tracking who the players came in contact with. We will make counter-epidemic measures in all places that these positive tennis players have been moving, restaurants, bars, sports centers. We are also testing all people that had interaction with them in these places. We will determine who will be sent to self-isolation. The 2020 tennis season, like all sports, has been massively impacted by the pandemic. Wimbledon was originally supposed to start next week, but has been canceled outright. The current plan is for Grand Slam tennis to return at the U.S. Open August 31st, with a delayed French Open in September and October.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. Jim has new stories each week in his game room, or you can play anytime at voanews.com. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to The Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Rugby Africa recently canceled its 2020 season because of the coronavirus pandemic. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Cape Town, South Africa, where he reached the head coach of Nigeria's national men's rugby team, Bronson Weir.
It's a tough one, to be honest with you. Good and bad. Good in terms of that we need to keep people safe and take human lives into consideration. And that the major thing for me is in terms of not playing this year, it will put rugby nations in Africa back so much further. We're already struggling to have matches. Nigeria only played 3 test matches last in 2019. So we're always trying to play catch up to the tier 1 nations. And so for a tier 2 nation, it's very difficult when there's no no matches at all. I've been engaging my players while they were during lockdown, sending them videos and so forth, and trying to prepare them for whenever I come back for camps. But it's tough now that there's no matches at all, because the guys will just basically do nothing for the rest of the year then and say, what is the reason? Why must I train? Why must I do this? There will be so many many other questions being asked. So it will be tough to keep the guys to do these things for no rugby activities, basically. So that's basically my take on it now that it's cancelled. But like I said, there's a human part of it, and then there's good to it why it's not being done. And for Rugby Nigeria and other African countries to play, there basically has to be no spectators, and it will cost the rugby nations a lot of money to make sure that all the safety hazards are in place, which the tier one nations can afford, and basically not us.
Coach, how many African countries are members of Rugby Africa?
Rugby nations in Africa, everybody belongs. Whoever wants to play rugby, whichever tier it is, when they're starting off for the first time in Africa, there's 50-odd states, so there's 50-odd countries, so all of them belong to Rugby Africa. All of them play at a different level. We know South Africa and Namibia are the only ones from Africa that participated in the Rugby World Cup, and they are basically in the tier one nations, if you can call it that. Namibia just makes it, but everybody belongs to them, even the tier one nations like South Africa. So everybody else also belongs to that, so there's about 50-odd that plays, even if it's at a lower level. Everybody must belong to Rugby Africa.
In your opinion, where does rugby rate in terms of popularity among African fans?
Rugby for Africans are not that big because of the safety hazards and because of the cost to play the game. Everybody just kicks around a soccer ball, but for rugby you need so many other things, like other gear to play. Besides your boots, there will also be like protective gear, like headwear and so forth. And there's also the technical aspects that goes with it in terms of scrummaging and so forth. So I don't think rugby is among the top five sports in Africa. To be honest with you, football is way ahead. And I think the other things to follow is like athletics, basketball, wrestling and boxing and those sort of things. But rugby is not one of the top priorities, to be honest. And also that's why it's a problem in terms of funding. A lot of individual players from Africa tend to stand out and make it, and but they go play for other countries like South Africa and France. If I just think quickly about Beeson Tuera, it comes from Zimbabwe, but has played over 100 test matches for the Springboks and won a World Cup. You think about rugby guys that came from Ivory Coast and so forth, that was also the captain of France. So there's individuals that make it, but they leave, and also to give other African countries an opportunity to play on the world stage. We've seen that with Kenya and Uganda, Zimbabwe to a degree, but we need a second, like a seven series, a constant thing that happens on a regular basis, not only once off, and that will grow the popularity.
Which way forward for Rugby Africa after COVID-19 pandemic?
Currently, the way forward, I see rugby taking for the tier two nations and below. I see it happening next year, not now. So things won't happen now for tier two nations, and that's basically it. I first have to see... basically what will happen now is games will happen at the club level, and then it will be taken to an international level. So, and then we will probably only play in the West African series for now. We won't see Nigeria traveling easily to countries that are far. It'll basically be in one particular area. That's what I see now. But it's sad, and I actually hope that we get another opportunity to play a top nation again, just to give us a better opportunity to prepare and so forth, and also to grow the game. But for the future, what we'll see now is much more health. We need to have certain things in place before any matches can happen.
That's Bronson Weir, the head coach of Nigeria's national men's rugby team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cape Town, South Africa.
Sporting greetings. This is Bronson Weir, the head coach of the Nigerian national men's rugby team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
My Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten, says the Reds of Liverpool are on the verge of lifting the Premier League trophy after Wednesday's victory over Crystal Palace. And Gwen joins us now. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Liverpool were just 6 points away from guaranteeing their first Premier League title in 30 years before the global pandemic suspended the season. And the imposed lockdown threatened to deny the Reds a chance to clinch the title. Now, with their 4-0 victory against Crystal Palace, Liverpool are 2 points from the championship. Following Wednesday's match, manager Jurgen Klopp spoke to reporters from Anfield and said his boys are hungry for the title.
You shouldn't underestimate how much this team wants it. You should not. This team really wants it. They want to fulfill the wishes of the people at home, really. We have all a common dream, but we have to work for it. And we have to work our way for it. We cannot play like other teams, but we can play pretty good stuff. And that's what the boys did tonight.
Wednesday's match was played inside an empty stadium, but not long after the Liverpool anthem, You'll Never Walk Alone, was played, Britain's Trent Alexander-Arnold fired off a perfectly curled free kick to put Liverpool on the board. Egyptian star Mohamed Salah doubled the score just before halftime. Then Brazilian Fabinho and Sadio Mane of Senegal scored in the second half to sweep the Reds to victory. Jurgen Klopp could not help but marvel at his side's performance and said the spirits of the fans were with them.
The attitude we showed tonight, the passion we showed, was exceptional. And we played some outstanding football. The goals we scored were exceptional. So in my job, usually I have to calm things down and say, no, that was not that good and we can improve. And we can improve. I know that. But that's not important tonight. Tonight is only important that we gave this sign, and that we showed our supporters the respect they deserve, that we can play like they are here even when they're not here. Yes, they can push us to incredible things, and without them it's nothing like it is when they're here. And I never miss them more than tonight, because imagine this game would have happened with 55,000 people in the stadium and the emotions which would have been then in the stadium, that would have been incredible. But we cannot have that in a moment. And so it was important that we showed our respect to the people. And that was what the boys did tonight. And I loved it.
Liverpool have racked up a total of 86 points and are 23 points ahead of second place Manchester City. Liverpool could be crowned champions as early as Thursday if Man City fails to win their match at Chelsea. But win or lose, Liverpool are set to face Man City in early July, and Klopp says that's his sole purpose for watching their upcoming match.
I watched the game to know what City is doing and to know what Chelsea is doing when we play them, having kind of an idea at least. That's why I watch it. I have really nothing to do with any other things, and I don't think it's we don't plan things like that. So we want to play this game tonight. We wanna have this result. I'm not sure I wanted that before the game. I would have taken each result, which gives us 3 points. But I love the performance from tonight, and all the rest will happen when it happens.
And Klopp says his victory against Crystal Palace is one he will savor for a long time.
This game will last a while in my mind. This is for us, that's what we want to be. That's what we have to show against each and everybody.
The Premier League title is within reach for Liverpool, and they could clinch it if Man City loses or draws on Thursday. Their matchup with Chelsea follows two fixtures. 11th-placed Arsenal is set to face Southampton, who are 14th in the league, and 16th-placed Watford are looking to win consecutive away matches at Burnley, who are currently in 12th place. Stay tuned, everyone, and that is all from me. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. Taking a look at the Premier League goal-scoring chart, Jamie Vardy of Leicester City leads with 19 goals, and Vardy is followed by two African stars. Gabonese striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Arsenal has 17 goals, and Egyptian star Mo Salah, who Gwen mentioned in her report, also has scored 17 goals for Liverpool. And yes, I think the Reds of Liverpool will soon be celebrating their first Premier League trophy in 30 years. And that wraps up the June 25th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA.
our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.